All right, I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of John chapter 15 again this evening. John chapter 15, and we're continuing our series on the subject of discipleship this evening. We've been talking for a number of weeks about the dynamics of a disciple. We started out by talking about what a disciple is, and then we spoke about the great need for us to abide in Christ and to receive our life source from Him. In other words, to be connected to Him. And we'll talk some more about that tonight and the interconnection between that and our subject for this evening. We also spoke about the need to be in the Word of God as a disciple. And we talked about last week the need for us to be communicating to God in prayer. Tonight we want to take as our subject this subject of the disciple bearing fruit. And so let's read our text this evening, the first 8 verses of John chapter 15, and we'll get right into the message tonight. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Heavenly Father, meet with us tonight, and encourage us, strengthen us, and instruct us from the Word of God. I pray that you would challenge us this evening about this very important topic of bearing fruit, and I pray that you would give us a real thirst, a real desire to bear much fruit for your honor and glory. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the Spirit of God would have His will and His way in our midst tonight, that Christ would be lifted up, and that our walk with Him would be strengthened. And we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. A number of years ago, when I was still in high school, I worked a job in the afternoons during the harvest season for a local farmer. And actually, it was Linda Woodring's dad, who has a farm just down the road, and he's in poor health now and doesn't do a whole lot of farming anymore. But at that time, he had a small farm, and on that farm, he has going down the lane an orchard of apple and peach and nectarine trees. And one of the jobs that I had during that time was that when the apple harvest came in, he had Red Delicious and Golden Delicious and Macintosh apples. And so part of my job was that during that harvest, I would be a part of bringing in the apples. And we would go to pick those apples. And of course, there's a special way to do all that and all the tools that you need. But I'll tell you that one of the things that I loved about that season of the year, and I really love the fall, but one of the things that I loved about that season of the year was going out to those trees and seeing those trees heavy with the fruit, with the apples hanging off of them. And if you've ever picked apples in a healthy orchard, then you've seen those big clusters of fruit, and you go and you pick those, and there was something very satisfying about being a part of that harvest. But now, could you imagine an orchard that was filled with trees but didn't bring forth any fruit? Could you imagine a farmer who his whole livelihood was tied up in that orchard, and the trees looked wonderful, had plenty of leaves, and they looked nice, and you looked at the orchard and you thought, boy, that's got a lot of potential. When the springtime came, there were lots of buds, the potential for bearing fruit. But could you imagine what that farmer would do if year after year after year that orchard did not bring forth any fruit? You say, yeah, it sounds kind of like my garden that I try to grow. Some of you can identify with this, can't you? Now, Jesus said to his disciples that they should expect to bear fruit. He said to them that if they would abide in him, and if they would be connected to him, the branch to the vine, that they would bear fruit, and not just fruit, but that they would bear much fruit. But I want to ask you a question, pose a question tonight, and it's along these lines. Why is it that we think what Jesus is speaking of is an anomaly or an unusual thing, and that it is normal for Christians to be spiritually barren. Now, let the impact of those words sink in for just a moment. But I'm proposing to you tonight that we've gotten to the place where we think it is normal for a Christian to not bear fruit. And nothing could be farther from the truth, because Jesus said a believer that is abiding in Christ will bear fruit and will bear much fruit. Now, we have this idea that a disciple that brings forth fruit is an extraordinary disciple. They've really gone above and beyond. They're doing something that most disciples are not. And the truth is that bearing fruit is a normal experience for a disciple. God does not desire you to be a sterile disciple. Did you catch that? God does not desire you to be a sterile disciple. And in fact, the Bible doesn't seem to mention any such disciple. We see that those who were followers of Christ were those who bore fruit, and much fruit. Now, when we talk about bearing fruit this evening, and we'll get into our message in just a moment, but bearing fruit is more than learning to go through some religious rituals. It's more than learning the Romans Road and how to show somebody how to be saved, although it certainly helps to know where to take someone in the Word of God to show them how to be saved. It's more than knowing how to take someone through the law and show them that they're not really a good person, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. There's much more to it than just having some canned answers for evangelism. It is much more than a religious ritual. It is spiritual reproduction. Now, if we think of it in this sense as spiritual reproduction, when we lead someone to Christ, and I believe that's what Jesus is speaking of here, when we bring someone to a place where they come to Christ, that is spiritual reproduction. Think about this with me. You cannot reproduce something that you do not already possess. You must have life before you can reproduce life. So far in this series, we've asked the question, am I a committed disciple? Then we asked, am I a connected disciple? Then we asked, am I a communing disciple? Do I spend time fellowshipping with God and His Word? And then we asked, am I a communicating disciple? Do I spend time with God in the place of prayer? Tonight we want to ask the question, am I a contributing disciple? Is my life bearing fruit for the glory of God? I have four thoughts for you this evening about bearing fruit and the dynamics of a disciple who bears fruit. First of all, notice with me the priority of bearing fruit. The priority of bearing fruit. If you'll notice with me in verse number 2, Jesus says it this way, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Then go down with me to verse 16. We did not read that when we read the text. But he says this, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Now, if you'll notice there in verse 2 and also in verse 16, we find this intermingling of what it means to be a disciple, and it's all interrelated. See, we sometimes segment and we categorize and we separate all these different areas of our life. And so we say, well, you know, as a believer, I'm pretty good in spending time in the Word, and I'm doing pretty good in this area of prayer. But you know, this area of outreach, I'm just not doing so well with. But you know, the truth is that when your time in the Word is what it ought to be, and when your time in the prayer closet is what it ought to be, the result is that there's going to be a bearing of fruit. It's telling you when there's not fruit being born, it's telling you that there is something wrong in the other parts of your spiritual life. The priority of bearing fruit is this. Jesus said, disciples are expected to bear fruit. It is normal for them to bear fruit. We don't go out to a vineyard, and we have some vineyards around here locally. We wouldn't go out to a vineyard during the harvest and look at a vineyard that had grapes on, growing on the branches and say, wow, this is amazing. These vines actually have grapes on them. No, we would go and expect that there would be grapes. In fact, if we went to a vineyard during the harvest and there were no grapes to be found, we would scratch our head and say, something is wrong. Something didn't happen. Somehow the pollination didn't take place. Something must have gone wrong in this for there not to be any harvest, for there not to be any fruit being born. Are you following with me tonight? When we come to a church family and we look and we say, where's the fruit? When we look in our personal life and we say, where's the fruit? Am I bearing fruit? Let's understand this tonight, that God has a priority that we should bear fruit. In verse 2, he says this, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he, what? Taketh away. He taketh away. Now, what does that mean? And some people have puzzled over these verses. I do not believe. Some people think this means that you lose your salvation or that you weren't saved or something like that. I believe the illustration that is being borne out is that God is going to remove those who are ineffective in bearing fruit. God is going to, in this sense, he's going to chasten them. He's going to correct them. He may take them home early. But understand this, God did not leave you on his green earth for you to take up space. I mean, if all God wanted us to do was get saved, then you've heard it before, we would just get saved and go straight to heaven. And that would be the end of that. We'd just get saved and go to heaven. But God has a purpose for us while we're remaining here on this earth. And that purpose is to bring forth fruit. Then notice in verse 2, he goes on and he says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know what that means when it says that he purgeth it? It means that he prunes. The Father is described as the husbandman. He's the one who is keeping this vineyard where the fruit is to be being born. And it's interesting, I was doing a little bit of reading about vineyards and how to make sure that you get the maximum amount of fruit being born. You know, one of the things that a husbandman will do, someone who is experienced in the vineyard, is he knows exactly how the branches need to be spaced. Because if the branches get too close together, the harvest just isn't quite the same. Do you see any analogies in that? And the Father, what is he up to? He's purging in our life. He's pruning. He's cleaning. By the way, I think one of the things he likes to do is to keep us spaced out a little bit. We say, well, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just all live in a Christian community? We could be neighbors with each other, and we could just work together and then go to church together, and we could have our little community that would be all the people from our church and people who are believers. No, it'd be terrible. That's not what God has called us to do. God has called us to be salt and light. He's called us to be in the world. He's called us to bring his message to the world. And so he says here that God is up to something in our lives. That is, that if we are bearing fruit, he's going to maximize that. He's going to be about snipping and changing and rearranging and putting this here and changing this and tweaking this for the purpose of us bringing forth more fruit. We'll explain why that is in just a moment. Bearing fruit results in pruning by the Father. So if you're doing what you ought to do, then you should expect a little pruning. And if you're not doing what you ought to do, then you should expect that perhaps God will remove you from the harvest. Those are sober words, aren't they? They're sober words. If we're not doing what we ought to do, perhaps God will just remove us from the harvest. I think that God is always at work in our lives to make us more and more fruitful. He's never content with just a little bit of fruit, and he certainly is not content with an absence of fruit. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30. Hold your place here in John 15. We'll be back in just a moment. But in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30, it's a verse that you know already. Many of you have memorized it. But I want you to think about the truth that's found here in Proverbs chapter 11, and verse number 30. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now that idea of winning souls is the same idea that Paul used when he said, we persuade men. We go in a persuasive way to convince men and women of the truth of the gospel. But God says here in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 30 that the fruit of a person who is righteous is a tree of life. They're going to be fruitful in their life. If we are not, listen to me tonight very carefully. If we are not involved in this very important discipline of reaching out with the gospel, if we are not bearing fruit, we are in disobedience to God. Do you understand that? And when we are in disobedience to God, we are not doing righteously. No matter how much we come to church, no matter how much we read our Bible, no matter how many Bible Institute courses we've taken, no matter about all these things, if we're not doing this, then there's something terribly wrong in our spiritual life. Y'all still with me tonight? Turn to Mark chapter 1 with me. Mark chapter 1. I want you to see verse number 17. I hope that it's not as warm where you're sitting as it is where I'm standing. Because if it is, you might be nodding off to sleep pretty soon. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Notice the call of Jesus when he called his disciples. What did he call them to? In Mark 1, 17, he said, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Now, there was an obvious wordplay and an analogy because these men were fishermen of fish. And he said to them, "I'm going to teach you how to be fishers of men." You know, as believers, God wants us to have a fishing hole. Did you ever think of that? God wants us to have a place. God wants us to be actively angling for the souls of men and women. He wants us to be involved in reaching out with the gospel. And if we are going to follow after Christ, I want you to see this in verse 17. If you come after Christ, He is going to make you to become fishers of men. In other words, Christ doesn't call us to follow Him in order to become professional pew-sitting Christians. He calls us to follow Him that we might be fishers of men. There is a priority that Jesus places on this thing of bearing fruit. Jesus, in John chapter 15, verse 2 and verse 16, it's almost as if Jesus is saying, a disciple does bear fruit. And one who bears fruit is a disciple. I mean, these two things go together. This is just normal. This is not strange. This is what God is up to in your life, the priority of bearing fruit. But then back in our text, I want you to notice, second of all, the process of bearing fruit in verse number 4. The process of bearing fruit. See, some people seem to think that bearing fruit means I've got to learn some cheap tricks to get people to say something after me and agree to me and maybe twist their arm around their back and get them to do something that they don't really want to do. And none of that is really evangelism, because evangelism, being a fisher of men, is the outflow of the inward abiding in Christ. Look in verse number 4. He says this, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." Jesus is saying in verse number 4, it is impossible to bear fruit without abiding in Christ. It is impossible to separate the disciplines of communing with God in His Word and communicating with God in prayer from this discipline of reaching out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are all linked together. Incidentally, the fourth discipline, which we'll deal with in a couple of weeks here, which is fellowship with the brethren, also plays into this. And all of these work together for us to accomplish God's will in this generation. I said it already in the introduction. You cannot reproduce that which you do not personally possess. Unless you are abiding in Christ and have a vibrant spiritual walk, there will not be any reproduction going on. Now, that doesn't mean that you might not see someone get saved. That doesn't mean that you might not at some point have the privilege of leading someone to the Lord. But I want you to understand that bearing fruit is more than just seeing someone become a disciple of Christ. It is helping them through the process of growing as a disciple in Christ. It is helping them to come to maturity as a believer themselves. And so unless you have that in your own life, you're not going to be able to impart that in another person's life. Let me also say this, that one of the best growing up experiences you can have is to have a spiritual baby. Do you know that happens in the physical realm, doesn't it? It's an interesting thing how when you start to have children, a lot of times it causes you to grow up. It's an interesting thing. Insurance companies, an insurance agent will tell you that the way that they rate your coverage, you'll get a better rate if you're married and have children. Why? Because they figure you're going to be a little more safe. You're going to be a little more thoughtful. Now, I know this doesn't always carry out, all right? But generally speaking, and some of you fellas, can you think back to before you were married, before you had kids, some of the things you did? And then after you got married and you had kids, now you don't think quite the same way. Sometimes I think, well, if I die doing that, then there's not going to be any dad to raise my kids. So maybe I ought not to do that anymore. See, that's maturity, I think. If you will get involved in someone's life, in helping them come to repentance and faith in Christ and becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, it will grow you up as a Christian. Because what's going to happen is you're going to start getting asked questions that you've never thought about. By the way, isn't there something contagious about the vivacity of a new Christian, the excitement that they have, and that they're just excited about everything? They come, look at this verse, look what God showed me. Oh, you'll never believe what I read in my devotions. There's something that's exciting about that. We need new Christians regularly coming into this body of believers because we need to be freshened up sometimes with some people who have a fresh perspective. And so Jesus says, look, there's a process of bearing fruit. That process is you abide in me and I abide in you, and then you're going to bring forth fruit. The idea of bearing fruit is a result. It's something that is done through us by our connection to the vine. Think about this. When you think about water coming into your house through the faucet, what does the water come through? Pipes, right? If you don't have pipes, how do you get water in your house? Not so easy, huh? The old-fashioned way, you go out and get a bucket and bring it in that way. No, those pipes are pretty important because they are a conduit. Now, those pipes deliver the water to your home. Do you know, in the same way, as a branch, we are being used by God as a conduit to deliver His life-giving message to the world and to bear fruit. Jesus speaks about this in such a way that he says, without me, ye can do nothing. It says there in verse number 5, without Christ in the process, without that life-giving flow, just like in the pipes in your house, if there was no water in the pipes, you can turn the faucet on all you want, but there's no water coming out because somewhere there's a blockage, somewhere something is shut off. And in our spiritual life, a lot of times this happens. We get shut off in our fellowship with God, and then we wonder why we're not able to bear fruit like we used to, or like perhaps we experienced at one time. D.T. Niles said this, evangelism is an overflow of the Christian's life, not a mere program of activities. Did you get that? It's not Tuesday night visitation. It's not Saturday morning visitation, although that gives us a venue to go and to speak to people, but it is an overflow of the abundant life of my fellowship with Christ overflowing to those who are around us. Have you ever walked into an orchard and heard the branches on the trees trying to add fruit, grunting, groaning, trying to push out fruit? No, of course not. The branches are just a conduit of the life-giving sap that is in the trunk of that tree, and they're working together with the leaves, which provide that amazing process of photosynthesis, and they're bearing fruit. They're doing what God designed them to do. Do you understand with me tonight? Do you understand this? God designed you to bear fruit. God designed you as a disciple to bear fruit. It is normal. It is natural. It's not something that we have to grunt or add on, but what we have to do is we have to abide in Christ and look for Him to allow us to bear fruit. Now, what happens in our life when we get to this place of abiding in Christ, which we talked about several weeks ago, is this. We get to know the heart of God. What is the heart of God? Well, you'll find from Genesis to Revelation, if you search your Bible, you'll find that the heart of God is the souls of men. If you get close to Jesus, that's going to rub off on you. Somebody who says, well, I fellowship with the Lord, but I couldn't care anything about sharing the gospel with anyone. You don't fellowship with God. You may have religious exercises, but you don't fellowship with God, friend, because you've not gotten close to His heart. You haven't understood what it is that drives Him, His heartbeat. When you get close to God, you'll have a drive, a passion for the souls of men. Do you know tonight we're not connected to the vine, to the Lord Jesus, for our own pleasure and benefit? We're there to be a conduit of the life-giving flow of the vine, to bear fruit. Get this in your mind, if you would. Some people, they say, you know what? I love the culture of Christianity. I love to study the Bible. I love to pray. I love the blessings of the Christian life. I love the morality. I love the practical lessons. I love to have my family in that place. I like this and I like that. But they're not interested in sharing any of that with anyone else. What you are doing is you are taking everything and you are heaping it into yourself, and you are in danger of becoming like the Dead Sea, very stagnant. Oh, we don't want to become stagnant in our Christian life. In order to avoid that, we have to give out what God has given to us. God never gives us anything to keep for ourselves. Did you know that? He always gives to us that we might give to others, that we might share with others. God didn't give us the gospel so that we could keep it for ourselves and safeguard it. He gave it to us so that we could share it. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are those who are in Christ's stead, beseeching men to come to Christ. There is a very important priority to bearing fruit. The process of bearing fruit is I abide in Christ. I get a hold of the heart of God, and I will be impassioned for the souls of men. Third of all, understand with me, there is the plenty in bearing fruit. In verse number 5, I don't want to deal with this for a long time, but I want you to look at verse number 5 and notice the word which Jesus used concerning the fruit. In the middle of the verse, He says, "He that abideth in Me and I in him, the same bringeth forth how much fruit?" Much fruit. Now, what does the word "much" mean to you? Does it mean barely enough? A little? A smidgen? No, it means a lot, doesn't it? So Jesus is saying that if we'll abide in Him, that we will bear much fruit, that there will be a super abounding of fruit in our lives. Now, don't try to put a number on it, okay? Don't say, well, if you're a real disciple and abiding in Christ, and you're going to have to win thousands to the Lord. That's not what Christ is not putting a number on it. And incidentally, you're going to find that most of the fruit that we bear, we may never even know about. We may never find out. I was just reading a very encouraging missions report from Brother Ed Fort. He's a missionary out of Empire Baptist Temple up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and he has labored for over 30 years in the inner city of Chicago dealing with different people. He says, reach Chicago, you reach the world, because there's so many people groups. But one of the people groups that he's been working with for over 30 years is the Hmong people that Brother Lang talked about. And there are a number of Hmong people that are there in Chicago and also in the upper Midwest. And he was invited to come and preach a funeral for the mother of a man who is now a Hmong preacher, and he pastors a Baptist church of Hmong people, and his mother had died, and so he asked Brother Fort to come and to be involved in that funeral. And he just went through and talked about how he had these experiences, how he met with people that he's not seen in 20 plus years who remembered him, and how he ministered to them. They've not gotten saved, but his life affected them. He ran into a lady then at that same event or at that same time, and she went back in her mind, and she remembered when she was a little girl and he came. It was the apartment where he ministered to a number of Hmong people, and he picked her up along with other children and took them to church and taught them the Bible. And she started to cry when she remembered his ministry to her during that time. You say, I don't know if my outreach is doing anything. A lot of times you'll not know about what fruit is being born until heaven. But notice that Jesus says, you'll bear much fruit. I don't believe that God is interested in us just satisfying the bare minimum of the Christian life. Have you noticed that about God? He doesn't want us to find what the bare minimum standard is and try to get up to that and then say, that'll be good enough. He's always spurring us on to excellence. He's always spurring us on to do more, to be more passionate and more involved. Now, think about this. In verse number 5, when Jesus says that we'll bring forth much fruit, you might have the same type of thought that I have, and that is, Lord, how could I do that? I don't know that I'm capable of bringing forth much fruit. And that's exactly the truth, by the way. You're not capable of bringing forth much fruit. Because God wants to work through you to bring forth much fruit. Exactly what we talked about in the last thought about the process of bearing fruit. I need to be tapped into what God is doing, and God will use me to bear much fruit. You say, but there's some biblical examples of men who didn't bear much fruit. I mean, look at Noah. He only had 8 souls in over 120 years who trusted in the gospel and who came with him, and that was his own family, and it seems like that was such a waste. But you know, Noah's life is still bearing fruit today, isn't it? We still preach about Noah. We still look at him, and there's people who get saved today looking at Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so his life is still bearing fruit. Some of those Old Testament prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, whose ministry, remember the call of Isaiah when God came to him, and Isaiah said, well, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do? And basically God said, you're going to go and preach, and their hearts are going to be hard. Their ears are going to be stopped. They're not going to listen. They're not going to care. Nobody's going to respond. It's going to be barren. And Isaiah's question was the same as yours and mine would be, Lord, how long? How long do I have to do that, Lord? A couple messages, 3 messages? No, God said, you're going to do it. You're just going to keep preaching it. And he said, there's going to be a remnant. There's going to be some. They're going to be brought out by your preaching. God is going to... But think about how Isaiah's preaching is used even today. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Words spoken by Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 45 and 22. And how many people have come to Christ? Charles Spurgeon was affected by that verse. How many people came to Christ because of Charles Spurgeon's life and his ministry? So you say, I don't know about this bearing fruit. Oh, God is able to use you to bear much fruit. We've got to get to the place where we say, God, help me to stop looking at my abilities and the talents that I have, and help me to look at what you can do through me, what you want to do through me. God wants us to bear much fruit. I don't think that the disciples in John chapter 15 had any idea that God wanted to use them to turn the known world upside down. That God was going to use them to literally change the world. 11 men. 11 common, average, ordinary men. The Pharisees called them unlearned and ignorant. And God used them to turn the world upside down. Could you imagine that? But that's what Jesus meant when he said, you'll bear much fruit. Also in verse 16, he speaks about this same thing. Bring forth fruit that your fruit should remain. He speaks about much fruit. There's that phrase, much fruit, is used several times down through the passage. You say, how is God able to do that? Well, think about this. God plans to bring to bear his power, which is evidence in creation in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And also that is evidence in his sustaining all of creation, for by him all things consist. God wants to bring that same power, that creative life-giving power, into our lives and use us to bring forth much fruit. Is that humbling to you tonight? To think that God would want to use us in this way. The plenty in bearing fruit is this, that God's plans to use you are often a lot bigger than what you could ever imagine. That God's design in you bringing forth much fruit is much greater than you could have ever added up on your own. I think sometimes we like to think, well, you know, I know this person and I know that person and I've talked to this person, and sometimes we check them off and we say, well, I've talked to that person already and I don't know a whole lot of other people and I'm not sure who the Lord's going to use for me to reach, but you have no idea where your testimony is going to go. You have no idea what God is going to do if you'll be faithful, abiding in Him and allowing Him to allow you to bring forth fruit. But then, fourth of all, I want you to notice in verse number 8, not only do we see the priority of bearing fruit and the process of bearing fruit and the plenty in bearing fruit, but I want you to notice, last of all this evening, the praise from bearing fruit. It's seen in verse number 8 very clearly. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Notice with me this evening the praise that comes from bearing fruit. Herein is my Father glorified. You see, it's the husbandman of the vineyard who gets the glory for the fruit that is born, not the branches. I don't think any of you ever walked into an orchard or to a vineyard and looked at the trees and started admiring the branches on the trees. My, would you look at the wood? Would you look at the texture of the bark? Oh, this is such a magnificent branch. This is amazing. You didn't do that. If you walked into a fruitful orchard or a fruitful vineyard, you looked around and you thought, this is obviously the work of someone who knows his craft. This is someone who knows how to maximize the potential of the trees or the vines and to cause them to bring forth much fruit. This is an amazing husbandman. See, all the praise for any fruit that comes out of our life goes to the Lord Jesus. It goes to God the Father. It doesn't go to us as the branches. It goes to God who has done the work. Think about Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 11, which says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. See, somehow we've gotten in this place where we've started to think that somehow there's status in bearing much fruit. And we've started to try to keep track of how much fruit we've borne and how many people maybe that we've won to the Lord. Sometimes we call it notching our belt and we say, well, I won this many this year and I did this and I did that. You didn't do anything. I mean, you were just faithful in sharing the message of grace that God gave to you. You were a vessel. All you can do is say, I was faithful. It's God who gives the increase. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And hold your place here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Have you ever noticed that when someone gets saved, when someone becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus, oftentimes God uses multiple touches along the way. And so there will be all kinds of different people that will be involved. Sometimes it'll be the most bizarre situations. And you think, how could God use that to get someone's attention and help them to come to Christ? I'm thinking about Mitch Zajac, and some of you remember Mitch. He was here on our open house Sunday. His testimony, one of the first times when God really brought him under conviction, and he was in a world of hurt. He was living in a terrible world, and he was in a place where he didn't belong, doing things he didn't belong doing, and a prostitute handed him a gospel tract and said, I think you probably need to read this. She wasn't a Christian. She didn't care about God. Somebody had given it to her. She probably gave it to him as a joke, but he read that and God got a hold of his heart. It didn't take long till down the road, Mitch came to know the Lord. And now he's a faithful and fervent witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we say, I don't understand how God would use that person or that means. But listen, it's not for you and I to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice this. In verse number 5, there was a controversy that was going on in the church at Corinth. It wasn't so much those who were saying, we've won this many, but it was those who said, we're followers of this person. And so it was this, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Now stop right there in verse number 5. The word ministers means servants. It means those who came serving the meal. It's like saying, I went to the restaurant and then going on and on and on about the waiter or the waitress and what a great job they did preparing the meal. They didn't prepare the meal. They brought it to you. There was a chef that was back in the kitchen who prepared the meal. In the same way with the gospel, see, we're just waiters. We're just servers. We bring the gospel. And he says, Paul is nobody. Apollos is nobody. We're just servants that shared the word of God with you. Verse number 6, he said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Oh, doesn't that happen so often in our lives? We hand a gospel tract to someone, and then down the road we find out that someone else knows them. It's been amazing to me through the years to hear stories from different people in the community, and I'll speak to someone about Christ, and then we'll get to comparing notes, and they'll say, oh, I know so-and-so that goes to your church, and oh, I remember this person, and I went to college with that person, and all these connections, and you say, oh, I'm sure that was a coincidence. No, that's God. See, Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. It is God who deserves the glory. It is God who deserves the praise. Verse number 9 is astounding. He says, "For we are laborers together with God." In this thing of bearing fruit, bringing forth fruit, we get to work with God. God is involved in this. And listen to me, He has invited us to be a part of what He is up to in this world. Do you think for a minute that God needs you? He doesn't need us. He chooses to use us for what? So that He will get the praise. So that He will get the honor and the glory. I'm saying to you back in our text in John chapter 15, if there's any fruit that comes from my life, if there's any fruit that comes from your life, then that's not for us to say, look what a disciple I am. Look how I've mastered the disciplines. Look what a great example I am of a Christian and of a fine disciple. That's for us to say, I don't understand it, but God is working through me and I'm bearing fruit. All glory to God. All praise to God. Then notice he speaks here about this praise and this glory going to God, because I believe this. Fruit bearing does not show our great ability. It shows God's great ability. I mean, think with me just for a moment about your testimony of salvation. Think with me about the persons or person, if it was just one, that God used to bring you to Christ. But you know what's really great about that story is not that person. It's the God who worked through them so that you might come to Christ. That's the thing that we need to get. See, we need to stop thinking about people that we're witnessing to as like our sales territory. Okay, we need to stop thinking about this like I get a commission, you get a commission, and so stay away from my person because I've got to bring them all the way, you know, so I'll have something to say about bringing that person to the Lord. That's a bunch of nonsense. God uses many people. I believe that's why God puts us in a body, so that we bear fruit together, so that those many touches take place here within this body oftentimes, and also with other people who are outside of this body. So a disciple is expected to bring forth fruit. There's a priority in bringing forth fruit. There's a process, which is to abide in Christ. He wants to bring forth much fruit, and He wants to get the glory and the honor and the praise. But tonight, I would just want to conclude with this question. Are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? Now, let's say this evening, that it's hard to bear fruit without getting out there and tilling up the soil. There's not much fruit that comes to the farmer who sits in his house and complains about the heat, the rain, the snow, the cold, the rocks, the weeds, no time, no place. He's never going to plant anything. He's never going to reap a harvest. You say, the sower, when Jesus gave that parable of the sower, He said the sower went out to sow. The seed was the Word of God. The sower indiscriminately spread the Word of God. You know, some of that seed did not bring forth fruit. In fact, 3/4 of that seed did not bring forth fruit. But there was some of that seed that landed in good, fertile, prepared ground, and God used it to bring forth fruit, some in 100-fold, some 60-fold. But the emphasis is this, it brought forth fruit. Think with me tonight. Sometimes I think we get discouraged because we say, well, I talked to 5 people this week, or I handed out 5 gospel tracts, and no one fell on their knees and repented and got saved. Well, you know, just a news flash. It's not quite like that in our culture anymore. It's not that way. There's going to be some planting. There's going to be some sowing. There's going to be some breaking up of some fallow ground. But if we will be faithful, then God will use our witness. God can and will use our witness. The question tonight is this, are you bringing forth fruit? Are you involved in the process of bearing fruit? Are you abiding in Christ? And does the overflow of Christ in you draw others to the cross? Tonight, it's important for us to be in the Word of God. It's important for us to be in the place of prayer. It's absolutely critical that we be involved in bearing fruit. Can we agree together tonight to pray that God would allow us to bring forth fruit? that God would allow us to be a part of this process, even if we don't see the fruit, even if we don't see the end result until we get to heaven. Tonight during our prayer time, let's pray together. God, would you make us a fruitful body? Would you make us a fruitful church? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together tonight. I pray that you'd challenge us and help us in this very important area of bringing forth fruit for the honor and glory of your name. Meet with us during this prayer time to come, I pray, and help us, Lord, to agree together in prayer and to ask you to make us a fruitful church. I pray, Lord, that you would work in the situations that will be brought before the church tonight, and that you would get honor and glory through our prayer time this evening and our fellowship that might follow. And we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.